بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, somebody sent me a video which I'm going to attach with this thing about this man who's 96 years old and he is still running. He's got the sprinting record, international sprinting record for the world. And it ends with a beautiful line. He says, your life is not over until it's over. He's talking about the ridiculous stamp that society puts on you of having so-called retired at age 65 or something. Whereas, you know, when do you retire? You retire when you go into your grave. The reason I'm mentioning here is because he's talking about, of course, the physical part of retirement. He's talking about the physical, the body itself. In addition to that, I think what the very important to understand here is that the issue of our soul, our qalb, our ruh, the spiritual aspect of our lives. Now, what happens to that? I'm talking about myself, and I know from my experience as a teacher and a trainer for 35 years, that we also, as intellectually, spiritually, we stop growing. We fall into the same pattern of the body, which is that initially we have the body gets stronger and stronger, and then at some point in time it plateaus, and then it just sort of deteriorates over time. And in a way, like, but not entirely, because the different laws are, which apply. But for the physical body, the reason why it deteriorates over time is because we stop our activity. As we grow older, we become less and less active for various reasons. I mean, well, one of the reasons, of course, is that you also usually become wealthier, so you have somebody else to do things for you, and you don't have to do your own things, which is a curse, really, if you look at it. I always used to think that having people to do things for you was a wonderful thing. You know, you should have servants and so on and so forth. But having lived now in America for, I've lived in America before as well, but now 6 months at a stretch, one of the things I realize here in the American way of life is that because people are, you know, forced to do things for themselves. I mean, there is nobody. I mean, there's no concept of servants and so on. Even with people who are very wealthy, they don't have their maximum. They will have somebody coming to clean the house maybe once in a week or once in a month, because houses don't get that dirty. They don't have the issues of dust and smog and so on. So they do their own things. They have to do their own work, take out their own garbage, cook their own food, and so on and so forth. Now, that keeps them active, that keeps them working, keeps them active. If you recall my video with my friend Harold Pease, who's 91 and does a full day's work. He built his own house, he mows his own lawn, he cuts trees, he has a complete workshop in his basement, lathe machine and so on, and he makes wooden bowls out of tree trunks and so on. And he's not alone. There are many. One day he told me, come with me. I'll take you in the morning for coffee. So he and I and his wife Charlotte, we went to Dunkin' Donuts, where he goes regularly, and he bought me coffee and a bagel, and we sat and chatted with his other friends, all of whom are in the 90s. Somebody's 94, somebody's 90, somebody's 96. All of them healthy old men and women, sitting there having a grand time in Dunkin' Donuts. And none of these are millionaires and so on. These are, somebody was a postman, somebody was a warden in the prison here, and things like that. But people who are active and healthy because they keep themselves busy and they keep themselves active. Now, the same thing applies in terms of the stoppage of development and even regression for us spiritually, because what happens also as we grow older is that just like our body plateaus, the learning also plateaus. Just ask yourself, especially my friends of my age in your 60s, what are you reading today? What books are you reading? What are the books that you read in the last 3 months? Right? And just ask yourself this question, and you will discover that if you're not reading, you're not learning. As simple as that. There's only two ways of learning. One is by reading, and one is by getting wahi. Wahi stopped 1400 years ago. So what else have you got? You've got to read. And if you're not reading, you're not learning. As simple as that. If you think watching YouTube videos is learning, it's not learning. Even if you're watching mine, it's not learning. These are all just reminders. These are reminders. For actual learning, you have to read. You have to read. You have to spend time with a book. We have to then reflect on that book. We must write a review of the book. We must write our own thoughts about what we have read. All of this amounts to the equivalent of spending time in the gym, which also we should do. Go for walks, spend time in the gym, and so on. But because if you don't do either of these, then we cannot possibly say that we are learning. And when you stop learning, then the mind also deteriorates, just like the body deteriorates. One of the reasons, for example, for different issues of the mind, things like depression, things like, I don't want to go into the medical side of things and put myself in trouble with all my neurologist friends. The problems with a lot of mental illnesses is because the mind becomes inactive. So no new information is coming in, there's no excitement in the mind, and so the mind just atrophies and dies. Now, that is why I remind myself and you, just like in the case of physical activity, we saw the other day, we were looking at some pictures of Dr. Ali's trip to Turkey, and he mentioned they went to a particular place, Cappadocia, and there they saw this village, which is high up in the mountains, 8,000 feet or something. The cloud is beneath them, and in that village there is a masjid, and the imam of the masjid, he invited them for tea, so they went to his house. He's an 86-year-old man. And he walks. I mean, that place has no transportation, so has no roads and no cars. So he walks, and his house is below the masjid, is on top of the hill. So he's walking up and down that hill 5 times a day to lead salah, and I don't know how many times more. So we were saying this: here's this man who walks up and down this hill 5 times a day, and he's healthy, alhamdulillah. So my nephew Yusuf said he's walking 5 times a day at age 86 because he started walking 5 times a day at age 5. So he's been walking like that for the last 81 years. That's why he's still walking, and that's why he's still healthy. And that's the point I want to make, which is that you have to start early. So this is not about 60 plus senior citizens, it's about the junior citizens. If you don't develop a habit of reading, you cannot develop that habit overnight when you are 60 plus. Similarly, if you've not been used to physical exercise, and you don't go to the gym, and you don't go for walks, and you allow your body to just fall apart and deteriorate over time, then suddenly at age 50 or 60, you can't say, well, I'm going to go lift weights. You will kill yourself. The body won't stay with you. So that is why it's very important to develop good habits early in life and then maintain them throughout life. That is the secret of success. So just like we do for the physical body, we must do for the spirit and soul, even more so, because what we do for the spirit and soul goes with us. The physical body, no matter how healthy or how unhealthy it is, will end with this life, whereas the spiritual body, the spirit and the things about the spirit, they will continue with us. The other important thing to understand in this is that as far as the spirit is concerned, this is also accumulating, this cumulative wealth which is accumulating with us for our akhirah. And the more time Allah gives us in this life, the more opportunity it is to accumulate more to take with us, because all of this stuff goes with us. So this life itself which Allah has given us is a beautiful gift. It is the best gift that we could have got. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just gave it to us without asking. And alhamdulillah, Allah has kept us in a state where we can remember Him. Now, for physical fitness, maybe there are more conditions in terms of your ability to do things and so on and so forth. Not everyone may have all those things. May Allah give all of you a good strong bodies and healthy minds and make them productive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it require? It's just a matter of thoughtfulness, of being focused on zikr, on being thoughtful and say that I'm not going to allow a single moment to get wasted without doing anything. So if I'm engaged in something which requires my mind, or which requires me to speak or something, then I will do that. But other than that, all the rest of my time, and there's a huge amount of time, I'm going to spend in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make this a habit of continuously saying La ilaha illallah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and the most beautiful of them, which is Salat and Salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Many people get focused on saying, sometimes somebody asks me, show me a small durood so I can recite many of them. Please don't get into these formula business. Why do you want a small durood? Read the durood which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself taught his sahaba. There's nothing more mubarak than that. It doesn't matter. Allah is not counting. Allah is not sitting there with a counter to say, did you count? Did you read it 100 times, or did you read that 99 times? No. You do it with sincerity, with love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is the one to reward. And Allah will reward in keeping with His majesty and grace. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to truly appreciate what He has given us, and to show that appreciation by using it in the way that He taught us to use. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.